Submission, oral or written, from the public on the division of revenue as tabled some weeks ago. We did issue out an advert inviting comments from the norm. I must indicate that we only received one. One submission, a written submission. There's not been anybody interested to come to do an oral submission. And the submission is attached from Mr. or Mrs. J.P. Mashiko, from Saselani Trust in Bushbuck Ridge. So it was also translated into English for the benefit of those who might not understand the language. Having gone through the submission itself, I have picked up that the issue that he's raising does not directly speak to the division of revenue as we would expect, but are issues of general nature. So, but we felt, because this was in response to our advert, it will just be proper that we table it to this committee, I would assume, for noting, or if there is any other input from any member, we can hear that. So I open the floor for you, honourable members. Honourable Liz.
Mr. Chairman, I haven't read this before, but I'm intrigued by the content. I'm particularly fond of point two, the kind of the million rand gratuity to be paid to everyone. I think that would make everyone very happy, and perhaps none of us would work. So the rest of the thing about giving everyone jobs seems superfluous once you've been given a million rand every year.
Any comments, honourable members, on the submission? Honourable Bashir.
Chairperson, what one really tends to agree with the content, you know, it's especially in the beginning, to say that those that have either pension or any grants must also be made to do something, to work and actually get out of that, so that you just simply don't give money for people staying at home and just wait every month to get money. And it does make a little bit of sense, Chair. Because one thing for sure, I think this has been the thinking to say, especially those that get the child support grant, that those grants should be linked to some sort of an economic activity, you know, because currently, of course, is that many of those that get the social grants really just sitting at home, not doing anything, just waiting for this specific money, save, you know, for those that are school children that get the social grant and go into school. But you have got those that just roam around getting this child support grant, but you know, they can't prove that they are actively looking for work. And one of the messages that one's getting from this letter is to actually ensure that those kind of people, like as you have read it, also making reference that some of them can take them to the security forces, to the police, whether whatever, you know, for them to have some sort of economic activity. That's what one is understanding. The thrust from that particular level, I think it is a view that should be supported, because in the main, irrespective of the examples, whatever, he's saying, let us not continue to give people money and they are doing nothing and just waiting for the money, but being people that are physically able to do something. Let's try to connect to an economic activity which will actually take them out of this social security, then into a band of actively working people, and you know, it's participating in the economy of the country. That at that level, I really agree. There is many things that are being said here, but in the main, like as I've said, it's really to connect these handouts to a particular economic activity. That's what I'm getting. Even though that I've not read the whole document up to now, because I was just conscientized about this document just now, but I just read the very first few lines. That is the thrust that I'm hearing, that this particular person, mind you, this person is staying about 7 kilometers from my house, but this person has never consulted me before I wrote this particular piece of paper. I would have advised him to write it differently, but communicating the same message. Thanks, sir.
Yeah, well, I don't know. My problem about this submission, honorable members, is that it's not backed by any research. It's just statements. I would not personally believe that anybody getting pension, they are just sitting idling and waiting for the next month to come. And we know the situation in the country. Yes, it is true. We know that the government is trying all its means to stimulate the economy so that there can be jobs. But I mean, if you follow the submission, although it's not to me directly to the Division of Revenue, save that it takes that issue of pensions, but conclusions like nobody should eat and drink unless they are working, anybody found drooling on the street should be arrested, the soldiers' work should only be to concentrate on those people who are not doing anything and drooling on the streets. I mean, it's quite an emotional submission. That's not taking us anywhere, really. But well appreciated, he has made his submission. But I would wonder if you really want to discuss this, so that we don't waste time. It should somehow be linked to the Division of Revenue itself. Otherwise, we should not waste time. Honorable Tipier and Mashile.
Chairperson, well, this gives us an idea what this person is thinking. And it sensitizes us. While we go to constituencies next week for the 14 days, that we engage with our structures in our constituencies, telling them what is the Division of Revenue, where does the money come from, what is it allocated for. That we have an informed cadre at grassroots level that can take today's message further. That's my input on this. Thank you.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think if you look at 7, on the original document, and probably I think even on the English version, I think it has been translated more or less correct. This person is actually saying only those people that are getting pension, which is old age pension, and only school children that will be at school. And then the rest, that is, this person is trying now to say they must be connected to an economic activity. But you see, Chair, that's what I'm saying is, without really scientifically analyzing the document, but the general message is that I think the person is talking to the these child support grants and things, which of course, I mean, we have heard left and right people complaining about the child support grant, others even saying that we are paying for people to, you know, to make children and all those funny comments that we have been hearing all around. You know, it's, that's why one is saying that, you know, it's a bigger message, of course, is connect an economic activity to these particular people that are currently entitled to get some sort of a grant. Because, Chair, I may indicate that there is one example that I came across. There is a disabled person, and this disabled person is on a wheelchair. He is employed by a supermarket. He is sitting at the entrance. And then the job is just to check the receipts that the person has and mark it that, no, you have gone out and then you have gone with your things. That's the job of this particular person. But then that person is working there now. There was an intimidation that he would lose his pension. And he decided to leave the supermarket and continue to get the pension. So you have got these situations that we are, people out there are faced with. They are disabled and they qualify to get pension on disability, but they can still do some sort of an economic activity. But then the system now is not helpful. It says, no, if you are working, but you are still disabled. But if you try and do some work now that keeps yourself busy like any other person, then you must lose the pension. And this is something that needs to be looked at. And because actually it now says all the people that are disabled must sit at home, even if there is an appropriate work that a person can do. Because if he tries to do that, then forfeits the pension on one side, and which is very problematic. But like as I'm saying, is 7, I think it was a little bit much more clarifying the situation. Thanks.
Honourable Quinn.
Thank you, Chairperson. I tend to agree with the chairperson when he said that we can only note this. Because if you check paragraph number 13, the presenter or the writer or the author of this letter is in parallel with the division of revenue. He doesn't understand. Hence, Honourable Machil was saying, should we have consulted him, should we have guided him? It's so mixed. When you read the Shangan version or Tonga version, you go to English, you tend to divide your attention. Now you don't understand what is directing this effect. Check number 13 and the English one and the Tonga one. Thanks.
So what is your final word, honourable members? We're noting the submission. Thank you. Well, that was the only submission. And, but on the, yes.
But as we said, we noted. But I think as well is that your office needs to just thank the submission that has been made.
Yes.
Because it looks like somebody has decided to make an effort to make a contribution.
Okay. Yes.
You know, it's thanks.
Thank you for the direction. Thank you very much. Honourable members, on the 9th of April, we will continue further I received information that the briefings in provinces went well last week. So on the 9th, we will be expecting to receive the negotiating mandates. It will be during the constituency period, but we have applied for permission and that has been granted. So hopefully we will then meet on the 9th to deal with the negotiating mandates from provinces on the division of revenue. So we will then proceed in that particular session. It was just a reminder. And I will move to the next. Oh, Honorable Lees.
Mr. Chairman, with your indulgence, I would like to comment about the briefing that took place last week. I'm particularly fortunate in that the National Treasury official who led the delegation to my province is with us this morning, and I wish to publicly express my thanks to Wendy and Ola O'Hali for the excellent way that they conducted the briefing. We did have some interesting comments, and it sort of almost slid into a political debate, but we managed to contain it. But thank you very much to Wendy and O'Hali. It was an excellent presentation and well received, and made my life very easy. Mr. Chairman, then in terms of the negotiating mandate, as I understand it, this committee does not need to meet, and we have had meetings in other parts of the country. And perhaps it's time to meet in Ladysmith on the 9th of April, and everyone can travel to
Ladysmith. Okay.
No, I want to share this with the committee. It was the first time in my political career that a treasury, in this case National Treasury, got an ovation from the whole committee at the provincial legislature after the briefing.
Okay.
And I passed it on to Treasury, to the new deputy director, Mrs. Malajang, in the place of Mr. Kenneth Brown, and to Wendy.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Mashile.
Yeah, Chair. I think also on our side and in Mpumalanga, I think it was the same thing. I think the Treasury, I think it was well prepared. You know, it's, for those specific technical data, actually, because they were really down to the ground. The only thing I think I've already raised with them is that they did not talk to the previous comments by the committee in the province. It would have made it top of the range briefing. And probably maybe moving forward, I think we will have that happening. Chair, I actually wanted to raise my request as well, but Honorable Lees has actually made a proposal already, but there is no airport in Ladysmith, Chair. So I don't think we need to consider Ladysmith. And I wanted to propose that maybe we can meet around Nelspruit then. I've got really the best airport around the country that actually matches the ground. And everybody knows that Lowveld is the best part of this country. And if there is any dispute, then I'll be willing to listen which area is better than the Lowveld in Mpumalanga, in this country. Thanks, Chairperson.
Honorable Makubela and Muntiti.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I'm so happy because I was the first one to have commented the treasure, but it was outside the meeting. In Limpopo, you know, despite the situation, those people who were there, they were super. Sometimes, or I can relate this to my knowledge now, after these years, I was not very much, but this time they were very 100%, all of them. Man, we really thank you and your staff. Thank you very much. But as far as the proposal is concerned, Limpopo is number one. If you come there, you know, this
Honorable Muntisi,
yeah, Chairperson, now that everybody is declaring, maybe I should as well declare that yeah, things in Gauteng went on okay.
They're not okay.
They went okay.
Went okay.
And Treasury was there and made a very comprehensive presentation. And we were pleased with the fact that it seems like the number of issues that were raised as Gauteng, most in particular on the equitable share with respect to population, Treasury seemed to have taken them on board. And that was very, very pleasant for Gauteng. And we also raised the issue about the rural, that we hope that the population that has been lost by the three provinces, Northwest, Mpumalanga, and the KZN, which bloated the population of Gauteng. We were just thinking that as a result of that, the rural areas, most in particular the sparsely populated municipalities, would not suffer. Because with this budget and the local government equitable share formula, the funding follows the population. Now, with the lesser densely populated municipalities, we thought that could be a problem. Yeah, but yeah, probably there are stopgap measures which Treasury has put into place. But yeah, that was the only concern. But Gauteng is quite happy. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Now, thank you very much, honourable members. I think the last briefing was in Western Cape this morning, and from what I received, Ms. Fanny, is that at least the briefings this year were quite improved than the previous year. Not that the previous years were not good, but this year it was more good because it was specific to provinces like we discussed in the previous meeting, that at least we need to give more details so that there is proper clarity and understanding, particularly with our colleagues in provinces, and all provinces were quite happy with the presentations, the way it was conducted and the details involved. So I hope that that will be the situation going forward. Even next year we'll still see the same thing, and wish all the provinces good luck in their public hearings and expect to hear their views on the 9th. As per the venue, honourable members, it would appear that you don't all agree. So we'll look into the matter and we'll communicate the venue of the meeting of the 9th. So, honourable members, we'll go to item number 5, which is the consideration of the previous minutes, which is the minutes where we were briefed on the division of revenue. And may I get any corrections or omissions on the minutes? Yeah, the first minute is the minutes of the 6th, right? No, of the 19th of February, sorry. Briefing by National Treasury on the local government equitable share formula. You remember that one? I'm on page 2 now. Come again. Page 3. May I get the move up? Honorable Didier, seconded by Honorable Makuela. Thank you. Minutes of the 6th of March, the briefing on the division of revenue, page page 1. Which meeting? Yes, the committee was broken into two. You're right. Yeah, Comrade Vivier joined us and then he left. That's why. I think honorable members, that would then bring us to the end of appropriation committee meeting on the division of revenue. And immediately after I attend the meeting, we'll then have a joint meeting to discuss item that what comes out as item number 6. It actually should be a one item for the joint meeting. So this meeting of the Appropriations Committee, honorable members, stays adjourned. I thank you.
I hope I'm allowed to stand, Chair, for this position on number 6.
And the baby dear, you will then have to come up here.
I want to make sure that it's a political appointment, this one. Yes.
Thank you very much.
You see, in my life, I've never been a director. This is the only opportunity that is coming.
Take care of the director, right? We expect him to be in the team.
Watch out that you don't lower the bar anymore. We are watching.
Please.
Good morning again, honorable members. This is a joint meeting of Select Committee on Appropriations and Finance. And come again, sir. Like I said, it would seem that there was a technical error where they combined the agenda of this meeting into the appropriations meeting. Hence my comment before I close the appropriations meeting. Honorable members, as per the document before you, the purpose of this meeting is quite a brief meeting. It's the issue to discuss the appointment of a director for the parliamentary office. And just by way of background, as you would remember, that we had reported in the past that last year in May, through the initiative of the presiding officers, the Development Bank of South Africa did or was approached to second Professor Jihad Zahed to Parliament to assist with the establishment of the Parliamentary Budget Office in terms of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure Act. So Professor has been part of Parliament since May last week, and he has done a lot of work in establishing the Budget Office until it was officially launched, I think, a day before the tabling of Parliament, of the budget, on the 26th of February. Now, the process as it stands, we are all being happy with the work that the professor has done, and it is now, we are now at a point where, as you know, that we are part of the political task team, which is formed of all the chairpersons of the four committees, presiding officers, and some delegates representing the two houses. We are now at the part where we have agreed that we should at least drive the process to ensure that at least now, by next year, the office is fully fledged. And now looking at Section 15 of the Money Bills Act, you find that the four committees are required to appoint the director for the office, who once appointed will then have to kickstart the process of advertising and recruiting directors who will work in that particular office. The structure was tabled to committees by Professor Jihad. I think all members are quite aware of that. So we have had some discussions at the PTT, political task team level, and to a certain extent we also engaged with, informally so, with our colleagues from different parties and on the approach that we need to take. And the view that we wanted to table before our committees was that with regard to the appointment of the director, consideration be given to the current incumbent, given the kind of work that he has done so far within a very short space of time, his understanding, as well as the fact that in terms of his qualifications, experience and knowledge, he seems to be meeting the requirements as stipulated in the Act. And in our view, it was that that decision was also informed by trying to pursue the principles of continuity and to ensure that this office is speedily established to the satisfaction of these committees of this, is it third parliament, is it fourth parliament, as we are the ones who started the implementation of that particular bill. So we are tabling that kind of a proposal before this committee for discussion, and the National Assembly side discussed it, the Finance Committee last week, and tomorrow the Appropriation Committee will be discussing it. So our approach was that we should first discuss that kind of an approach, and then once we have reached an agreement, we we can then in our next meeting table a report that will be discussed further and approved by this committee for further processing by the House. So in brief, honourable members, that is the situation. We have also, for your benefit, consulted with the legal practitioners here in Parliament, specifically Advocate Jenkins, who is part of our meeting this morning, to check the legality of the process that we are proposing, and it has been found to be within the legal framework. And but as long as the process is as open and transparent as we are doing it, because that is one of the requirements of the appeal, that we must be open and transparent about the whole process. Hence we are bringing it now formally here to the committee and to hear the views and guidance from members. I'm not sure if there is any other thing I left out, Honourable Dipier. If none, I recognize Honourable Mashile and Honourable Makubela will follow.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think this freedom also needs to be guarded, Chairperson, because if you don't guard the freedom jealously so, then a possibility is that lumpens will steal the freedom and we'll find ourselves going back, you know, to the unfortunate era that no one wants to go back there. Chair, really for the sake that we have actually engaged the Prof to actually assist us in moving forward with this particular implementation, and has made a lot of trips with us to actually acquire knowledge that is required to be able to establish this specific institution. And then there is a high level of knowledge that is embodied in him to really make us to move forward. One would like to sustain the momentum. One would like to sustain the momentum, because if we don't do that, also in the name of pleasing the world, and then the likelihood is that we may have a slip down. Whoever will come in, we're going to first go down and go and start again from the bottom and then go up. And surely, with clarity in our minds, we really don't need to do that with our eyes wide open. Yes, it is true that we need to actually get our legal minds in Parliament. You know, it's to actually ensure that the process is acceptable and the process is legal. I just hope that they'll do their best. They'll do their best, you know, without undermining them. But you know, sometimes back, and we had some more challenges, and then one will just simply call upon them to really dig a little bit deep and actually come up with a proper legal opinion that is not challengeable out there. But Chair, we support you know, the continuation of the Prof to assist us moving forward. We don't need to actually break the momentum when we have created it over a long time, and everybody now wants that office to be established, and it looks like catching up with time is the only person that can make us to catch up with time. Any other one is going to delay us, no matter how much qualified, whatever. But coming without the kind of knowledge that is heavy, that person is going to delay us. So I really support that we sustain the Prof to establish this particular institution. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, Chairperson, as Honorable Mashile started, took everything, but I'm only on the technicalities here. As you mentioned when you started, that the combination of this point here on this appropriation. For the sake of technicalities, will it surface if somebody comes with a challenge sometime and said, no, it was not what I, my, the issue of putting minutes here. It is going to be a continuation of the minutes, or is it, what I, as you said, it's a new. I beg. Okay. It's supposed to be taken out here and come out with it, so that for the continuation of the minutes. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Oronoko. You covered me. You want to have a bite on a release?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, there's general agreement that Professor Chiand is an excellent candidate for this position. I think that there's unanimity, and certainly it's my personal view and the view of our party. But there have been concerns raised about the process, and that even if we follow the process, we can still get the appointment done as quickly as we want it to be done, but then have no accusations later that someone we know nothing about wasn't given the opportunity to contest the position. And so we are just as keen as anyone else for this office to be put in place, and the stumbling blocks in terms of offices and that can be sorted, and you've explained that to me. But given that we are now in March, and if we were to advertise and do all the normal things, we could still achieve this appointment probably by July, and give the new appointee, which probably will be Professor Jiad, but one can't prejudge that process, enough time to establish in this fourth, did we say, Parliament. So I put that before the committee as a way of avoiding any unpleasant publicity about this appointment that is quite possible if we don't open it up to everyone who may be qualified. And I hear what Honourable Mashila says about, and others, that Professor Jiad has done an excellent job through this whole process and seems to be perfectly qualified to take the process and run without any delays. And that must surely stand in his stead in an appointment process.
Well, thank you, honourable members. Your comments are well received. And on the issue of procedure, honourable members, like I already indicated, we have requested, that's why we also invited Honourable Jenkins to be part of our meetings discussion, so that at least he has first-hand the views of the members. We have requested that he conduct further research on the process itself, so that if there are any legal gaps that get attended to, so that we safeguard the credibility of the whole process. And so far, the advice that we had received was that the Act itself, other than just saying we can appoint, does not apply a specific procedure that needs to be followed. Like if you are to look into other Acts, like the Public Audit Act and all those others, that specifically says in appointing, this is what you must do. So this one is quite silent, and it allows for both processes. Either you headhunt, or you advertise and recruit, or you do whatever other process with each of those having its own pros and cons. But we are looking into that. That's why we did not want to rush this matter, but to first get us all agreeing on the principle, and so that when we begin to engage on checking on the advantages and disadvantages, we are legally covered for whatever that might arise later, because these things do happen. We can't underestimate such possibility. But we are also looking at the fact that this year, it's going to be a very short year, in the sense that most of the political parties will be starting their political election work from June. Yes. No, I'm saying in terms of now wanting their members from certain committees to be full-time deployed in certain areas. So our intention as the PTT is to at least, by the time where we all now concentrate on elections, we have now somebody heading the office and doing all these other necessary things, but our mandate is executed and all those things. But like I said, we will obviously keep members up to speed with all the developments from immediately after this discussion, because we have also agreed to meet again as the political task team to reflect on some of the issues that would have been raised in various committees, and make sure that when we, in one of our very first meetings when we come back, at least we table a progress report that will make it easy for us to bring finality to the matter. I'm not sure if you would want to add something, Advocate.
No, sir. I think you've covered it all. I mean, the specific thing was whether there's a specific process that's been prescribed, whether it's a nomination process from the public that one gets in the South African Human Rights Commission Act, or a shortlist that must be compiled for submission, where someone will pick a candidate of that, as we get in the SABC Act. And Moneyball's Act is silent on that, so Parliament needs to decide, as long as it's open and transparent. But there's no requirement for competitive advertisement or anything in that line. But you've summarized it well enough. Thanks, sir.
Honorable Mashile.
Chair, I think this is exactly what we need to guard, Chair. I think it's the Jenkins should assist us to make sure that they really attend to that particular matter. Mm. Because the fact that the Act is silent on the process, it doesn't really say that we don't need to do anything.
Mm.
Because there is a general expectation by ordinary people when you have to appoint a person, especially within this institution.
Mm.
There is a general expectation. If there is any query, we are going to be asked what is supposed to be done under normal circumstances.
Mm.
Then you'll find that then we are at wrong. I think it says there must be a serious attention to that particular matter. Of the process, and and clarify it legally, not just simply on the basis that in the Act it's silent.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
Not.
Now, I think we are in order, Honorable Mashile. We agreed also this morning. Honorable Jenkins is going to continue doing a thorough legal research on the matter, and also from our side, we have also made sure that our meetings get publicized in this, what they call it, they call it a Z-list. It's like a parliamentary agenda for the public to know which committee is sitting where and what are they discussing. So even this one of today, it was put on that list, that people are quite aware that we are meeting here, so that anybody who has got interest should come up. But But we'll be expecting that opinion, and once it's also given, we'll circulate it to members before we finalize the matter. Honorable Dibia, do you have anything?
Chair, no, we met before this meeting, and there was agreement about the process we're going to follow as you conducted the procedures in this meeting, and that's it. We are meeting again as appropriations on the 9th of April. Appropriations and finance share the same membership. The next engagement will be in Limpopo, 22 to 26th of April, when we are together again. And again on the 30th of April, a scheduled meeting in terms of the program. So that is the engagements for from now until the end of April.
That's it all, honorable members, and then we'll pursue this discussion again in our next meeting, and there be no further business for the day. This meeting stands adjourned, and I thank you.
Thank you.